Now, there's been a boom of puppy purchases thanks to COVID and Christmas time. Now, a few months later, new pet owners are taking their puppies out and about. We welcome Cathy Capellas-McLeod on the line. Now, she's a dog behaviour expert who's here to help us with the do's and don'ts of dog park etiquette. And being the owner of a Labrador Retriever that's 3 years of age, I'm sure Gilroy's listening. Cathy, good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yes, indeed. Yes, we've always been a dog or puppy family, and we've had Gilroy now for a couple of years, a former, well, I've got to say, sadly, failed guide dog. We picked him up from the Glossodia Guide Dog Centre in Western Sydney, and he's been doing fine, and he loves the dog parks.
And dog parks are predominantly very good for dogs and for people, of course. But of course, there needs to be some responsibility taken when we do take our dogs out in public, but it happens to be that dog parks are the most convenient places for us, aren't they?
They certainly are. Unfortunately, there is a little bit of work being done with the dog park over in Yarralumla at the moment, here in Canberra, is currently closed. They had to get rid of a lot of trees that were very dangerous after the dreadful fires and heat and summer and so on. So that one's not there, but other dog parks around town are available. The one in Belconnen, for example, is available. So there's still places for people here in Canberra to take their pet. Now, when you've got particularly, I suppose, a young pet, might be a bit daunted with all of the other ones who are a little bit older. I guess there's a way way we can introduce two new dogs to each other?
For sure. Sometimes I'm taking them either into the middle of a dog park or enclosed dog park. Might be, unless you've got a bold puppy who thinks this is just heaven, and there's a lot of adult dogs there or young adolescents that rush up to it and it's okay with it, it should get away with it because of its boldness. But if you've got a puppy that's a little bit more like people, shy and reserved and perhaps a little bit fearful, that might not be the way to go. So sometimes in those enclosed parks, if you just walk that sort of individual on the outskirts and check to see whether it's coming out of the shell, allowing it to interact with one, then two, perhaps three, and see as the days and weeks progress. It'll soon be ready before you know it to go in to a group and play with different individuals, although some of them still might find some individuals a bit too hard and full on in their play.
Yeah, that happens too. And I know with the dog park in Belconnen, they have, and I'm sure this is probably the case in most dog parks, they have the two areas where you've got the area for the smaller dogs and the other ones for the larger dogs, and you often have the little dogs and the bigger dogs still relating to each other on the fence, but more safely seated to prevent any sort of nasty accidents.
Yeah, and funnily enough, we have that here in Perth as well. And some of my clients who actually take their little dogs say that their little dogs want to engage with the big dogs. But I understand the separation because there might be, little dogs being, just politely squished with bigger dogs getting too excited. No aggression, but just the excitement and perhaps the play. So I understand about the size disparity. So certainly not to always have anything to do with the aggression. It's more about just that size difference and perhaps some over-ambunctious play and the little dogs. Mind you, some little dogs can give as good as they can get, can't they, Chris?
They can. Cathy, the other thing that I find, and this is sort of gets to be a bit embarrassing when it happens, is when the dog, either your dog or another dog, tries to get too amorous with your dog, or your dog tries to get amorous, shall we say. Now, in the case of every dog we've ever owned, they've been de-sexed. So there's no problem of suddenly getting pups that you don't want and can't afford to look after. But where that happens, where one might start and they all and a number seem to start, well, I'm talking on just Saturday breakfast radio, if you like, but I think you know what I'm driving at.
You're talking about a Congo line, aren't you, Chris?
Yeah, well, are people, is there a way for people and pet owners to try and discourage that behaviour, or is it just something you've got to just manage?
Okay, so as long as we know that Mountie neck actually is not what we were told in the past, and you can still check on the internet, we'll say it's a dominance-related issue. It's not. It actually can be excitement and just arousal, although it looks a bit weird to people and embarrassing. So just understand that it's likely to happen, and it will happen with sterilised dogs as well. It just all depends on the personality type and how easily they're stimulated.
I was going to ask you that. Being sterilised dogs, I would have thought that the level of arousal just wouldn't have necessarily been there because the chemical excitement wasn't there. So it's more just an excitement thing as opposed to a dominant thing or a sexual battle thing, if you like.
Exactly. It's not always a sexy thing. So that's why, you know, even sterilised females and sterilised males will do it. It's more a case. This is just a lot of fun. And here's another interesting reason why some dogs will mount, but you have to look at the situation and the context in hand, is if you get some really nice-natured dogs, which will be polite, fun police. So what they might do is if they can see a situation amongst dogs that's getting a bit out of hand, they have been known to mount another dog to cease or distract that dog. So you need to watch for it. So it's not always a bad thing. Yes, you've got to watch for it. And also, too, the dog that's been mounted might really dislike it. So there might be an argy-bargy. So I think the best thing to do there, Chris, is for people to watch their dogs very early in the piece. So preempt, because they're very actually easy to read, because they start doing that sexy manoeuvre. You can tell the next thing is they're going to start humping. So if they start having that look in their eyes, then already you can sort of snap them out of it before it becomes anything.
It becomes an issue. And in terms of it, of genuine cases of aggression or where other dogs are being picked on, sometimes, as you say, in that particular example, just beyond that particular manoeuvre, shall we say, you can have a situation too where other dogs will come to the defence of others where they're being picked on too. That's like people, they'll say, hang on, that's unfair.
You'll get the pack mentality, and you need to, it's interesting, I just worked with a client whose dog does that, gets on beautifully with its friends, but when the new dog comes into it, if its friend doesn't engage with it well, or if it's a bit worried, it takes on that role of a different fun police, so to speak, and it gets defensive and can, you know, fall into perhaps being quite aggressive. So if you do have an individual like that, you really need to be watching it carefully, and even then you can back it up a bit and just decide whether having your dog off-lead at this stage of your dog's behaviour modification training, whether having it off-lead where it's likely to rehearse more of the same behaviour is a wise thing to do. There's always time for off-lead and places, but perhaps a busy dog park isn't key. We've got to understand a lot of people won't be watching their dogs as much as some will be. Some will just be relaxing and resting on their laurels. But you need to, even if you've got a dog that what I call bomb-proof, you need to be watching to make sure that it's safe and that you're reinforcing good behaviour and potentially watching for misbehaviour.
Now, Cathy, as you say, you're based over in Perth in Western Australia. However, people can still get in touch with you because you have an organisation known as Cathy's Dog Training.
Yeah, and behaviour consultant. That's right, Chris. And I do phone consults. In fact, I'm doing a phone consult for someone in Victoria next week. So I'm happy to do that. Anybody that needs to have a chat, they're more than welcome to contact me. And happy to do so. I always got love to talk about dog behaviour. So always got something that I share that somebody can take away and put into good use.
All right. Well, look, I'll just give your email. It's Cathy. Now, the Cathy spelling in this case is K-A-T-H-Y. Cathy at cathysdogtraining.com.au. The Cathy's Dog Training is K-A-T-H-Y-S-D-O-G training, all one word, .com.au. So if you want to get in touch with Cathy, you can. And if you've got a particular problem, Cathy may be able to help you. So, Cathy, thank you for your time. And please stay in touch, because I'm sure there'll be situations, particularly coming out of COVID, and hopefully very shortly when we get this vaccine rolling, we can get back to some form of normality, whatever that it turns out to be. And the pets will join us in that journey.
That sounds great, Chris. Thanks for having me again, and enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.